Good morning. Today is Wednesday, December the 22nd. Joining us this morning from RCEA, let me see, Redwood Coast Energy Authority, Steve Coleman. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Well, you could almost say Happy Christmas. We're close enough. It works.
Yeah, well, happy solstice, too, and Christmas and everything that people might be celebrating this time of year.
Being alive, how's that?
That's always better than the alternative from everything I've heard.
All righty. So we have our little question to start the show with. Why do you say it? I think this is why Mr. Wilson is not with us today, because he just doesn't want to continue his streak of whoops. So are you ready for your question, sir?
Ready as I'm going to be.
All right. Double take. Why do we say double take?
Oh, that's double take. That's a good one. It makes me think of those like double mint
the twins
gum commercials
from
back in the day. But seems like it have something to do with photography or movies that, maybe you do a have to take the shot twice, but I'm reaching here.
Well, don't hurt yourself. All right, here we go. Have you ever been stopped short by a subliminal glimpse of something that you didn't believe what you saw? The common experience calls for a second or closer look, a double take. Whether working on a set or in a studio, many directors have called for the camera to take another look at a snippet of action or a full scene. Every take is on trial until it meets the director's approval. When footage is judged unsatisfactory by an on-the-spot decision, a double take is ordered. Erupting from the lingo of the entertainment world, double take has come to mean anything deserving a second or better look. You were in the neighborhood.
I'm going to consider that a correct answer.
Yeah. See, it is a good Christmas this year. For folks
early Christmas present.
Yes, for folks that don't recognize or were around when the organization was developed, what is the difference, Steve, between RCEA, PG&E, and I don't know if Fairhaven is still producing, but some of the other electrical cooperatives that are around?
Sure. Well, RCEA, Redwood Coast Energy Authority, was actually formed a number of years ago as what's called a joint powers agency. So that's the county and the various incorporated cities got together and decided they wanted an agency to help manage energy use and energy efficiency projects around the county. And so RCEA did that for a number of years, but what you're probably talking about, where the confusion with PG&E comes in now, is about 3 years ago, just a little over 3 years ago, the county elected to develop what is called community choice aggregation, which is where a local government-run entity is purchasing the electric power for the county and offering that up to the customers. Now, it still runs on PG&E's lines and transmission lines, and that's how it gets to you. But RCEA was formed and has had the goal of providing electricity at a less expensive rate and with a lower carbon footprint than what's generally on the grid. But so that's why it gets kind of confusing, and I find it confusing, too, that you'll see both PG&E and RCEA on your bill. And it's because RCEA is purchasing the energy, but PG&E is delivering it. And now in terms of Fairhaven and the King Salmon Power Plant, those are places that create the energy that then gets shipped over to you.
So those are generators. They don't have anything to do with the billing portion of what's
they don't
on.
Have anything to do. But then, to make it more confusing, PG&E owns the King Salmon plant. So it's, a utility might own a generating facility. And
then
it's governed by a whole alphabet soup of acronyms on the state level and federal level.
And we'll start with alphabet soup then when we come back. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Coleman from RCEA. But Steve, you were in the first segment developing the distinction between a producer, the deliverer, and the infrastructure-er with energy in our area. I don't know if you could find somebody in the area who would say, you know, my energy bill is less today than it was yesterday.
One thing I'll always say, nobody ever says my energy bill is too low. That's a common thread. And although it might be hard to see on your bill, RCEA does offer a discount to what you would be paying if you were just purchasing direct from PG&E. But I want to get
Is that because you guys buy in such large quantity that you get the equivalent of a volume discount?
Yeah, there's a number of different reasons. I mean, obviously, PG&E is buying in very large quantities, too. But we also, we're a public agency that doesn't have shareholders, and so we're not paying, beholden to shareholders to make a profit. We're trying to keep any of those monies within our community, which is actually more my job. I don't have anything to do with the purchasing of power or any of that. What I am is what's called the Director of Demand Side Management, or customer energy solutions, as we're trying to call it. And so what we're trying to do is take those dollars that you're spending on your energy bill and keep them in the community by offering programs to our customers.
As you consider some of the different choices and options that are out there, I think it was last week that there was a story that PG&E was not particularly interested in continuing at the same level, or perhaps it was the state through the PUC, at the same level of compensation for buying back energy for all the folks that have got the solar panels and some of the other things that they've put into place that was supposed to do this and supposed to do that, that there's almost too much now, or the ROI for PG&E isn't high enough so that they're looking to have the subsidies pulled out, pulled back and out of that program. Is that a fair summation of what is being considered?
That definitely is a fair summation of what is being considered, and that, again, is happening at the state level, at the Public Utilities Commission, and this has been something, you know, efforts such as this has something have been something that RCEA has pushed back against in the past. This is all very new developments right now, and so we haven't had an official stance yet, but I'll tell you, the argument is that there's the feeling that not, people without solar on their rooftops are somehow subsidizing people with solar on their rooftops by the amount that they're receiving from selling power back to the grid. Now, any of these changes will be rolled in on a slow basis, and I think there'll be options for customers to stay on their current rate structure for quite some time, but it will definitely have an impact on the viability of putting new solar on rooftops.
And that's what,
you know,
I was going to.
Concerning for,
yeah, I was going to ask about that, Steve. Because what is it? Next year, 2 years from now, it's mandated to have solar panels on all new residential construction. But would this change the amount of panels if it's just for that structure only? Yeah, you know, maybe you don't need to have 30 or 40 panels. Maybe two or three are enough.
Yeah, and I remember early on in the industry, the solar industry, that was the recommendation, that you build your system to be just under what you would be using, what you anticipate using within your household. And then with some of the more generous programs that were developed to help encourage rooftop solar, people started building bigger and bigger systems. It'll be interesting to see where it goes now. Again, this is stuff happening on the state level, but it's it's definitely a change in direction from where things have been for the past few years.
Well, and I would suspect that that really has a chance to impact a lot of industries, whether it's the energy industry, home construction, roofing, certainly the solar folks themselves, the manufacturers of those, et cetera, et cetera. So do you see this ripple, or is it still too early to kind of see what's going on if this does pass?
Well, it's impossible to predict the future, but I definitely see it having some sort of ripple effect throughout the industries. You know, solar energy and the energy sector just in general is one of the fastest growing job creators across the whole country and the world. And so these are industries that we want to see grow in this country, you know, providing jobs, like well-paying skilled jobs that are going to continue to grow for many years. And so in my thinking, we would want to do everything we can to promote that, not make it more difficult.
Has there been any addressing of the systems as they become old, or I don't want to say antiquated, but say non-functional, or it's time to upgrade or replace? I've heard that there's nothing at the end. So you get this stuff and you can't recycle it. There's not a secondary market, and it ends up in the landfills. Is that what the current state of the industry is?
I think there has been progress in being able to recycle some of the components from it. And one thing that's been impressive is a lot of these systems that were put in many, many years ago are still functioning at a pretty high level. They haven't degraded as much as was expected. And so the longevity of these systems has been really good. But I 100% agree with you. The waste stream is something, you know, and not just in solar, but in any industry. And,
right.
You know,
right.
With cars.
Well, we were going to get to batteries.
With the refrigerators, that's anything you have to really consider. What is the waste stream? Where is this stuff going? You want to talk about waste stream. at least, you know, solar panels aren't going to be radioactive for the next, you know, 300,000 years. So that doesn't mean that we don't have to figure out a solution for the issue, and that there's an issue there.
It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Coleman from, Redwood Community Energy, no, RCEA.
Redwood Coast Energy Authority.
RCAA is where I was going. Yeah.
CEA and all those other things.
Yeah. Energy Authority.
Yeah, we were talking about solar energy. And one thing I did want to mention is that I think it's always better to work on the demand side and reduce the amount of energy we need instead of trying to find new and exciting ways to make more energy. And that's where some of the programs that we're offering come in. And we're doing a promotion right now for any business customer who wants to call up and schedule a free assessment for us to come out and see what type of rebates and services we can offer you, that we're going to make a $100 donation to Food for People, which is a great organization in our community helping those in need. And, you know, RCEA we're always developing new programs and new rebates. We have a lot of rebates going on now. We're hoping to, or we will be releasing a new rebate catalog early in the new year. And so we're not just about lighting anymore. We can do work with you on refrigeration, kitchen equipment, and all sorts of things.
So this is similar to
get my little promotion in there.
Yeah, that's you know, I'll have one of my sales guys come visit. We'll work on that one later. Is this similar to like the energy audits that used to occur on a pretty regular basis?
Yeah, I mean, this is just a continuation of that same sort of thing. We're always learning more about it and how to be more efficient, but it is among those same programs that we run at RCEA through various means, and, you know, we'll come out and look at the business and help make recommendations, but we're not trying to sell you on anything. We're trying to help you decide what your priorities are and what's going to work. And I think one thing that's real different from maybe what's been in the past is we've learned to really try and work with the customers to find those added benefits. You know, we don't want to just replace a light bulb and then you be unhappy with the light quality. You know, we want to find lights that actually work and your customers like better.
Just kind of explore the options that are out there, because I would suspect that unless you're in the biz, you probably are focusing on whatever you're selling, whatever your service is, whatever you're doing, rather than worrying about, you know, maintaining current knowledge on this industry or that industry.
Oh, totally. And then when something, you know, you don't think of replacing something until something goes wrong. And then when your water heater goes out, you're looking for, like, how can I replace that as fast as possible? You're not necessarily taking the time to do the research. But that's where with a, you know, with a call to us, we can say, like, well, if you buy this model, we can offer you a rebate on it, you know, while you're installing it, and it can make it more cost effective to go with the efficient model that's going to save you money in the long run.
So is that, are those rebates, Steve, that RCEA is doing, or that you're aware that manufacturers are providing? I mean, how, is it
all,
everything?
All of the above, and that's what our strategy is here, and our plan is, like, if we have a rebate we can offer you, we'll offer it. If someone else has a rebate that we're aware of, we'll let you know about it and different programs. But we're able in our programs to help customize rebates to the customer. And so if we know what type of appliances or lighting that you're looking to upgrade, we can do some research and say, well, we can offer you a rebate on, you know, this type of dishwasher.
Well, what about remodels or new construction? Are you guys able to assist in that area, or is it more just replacement of existing?
Yeah, we can do that as well. And so what we've developed, we have a real short form on our website called our customer interest form. You know, we're always happy to take phone calls too, but people can fill that out, put, you know, a few things that they're interested in, and one of our energy advisors will get in touch with you. And again, we're not trying to sell you things. We're trying to find ways that we can help you, which, you know, helps our programs be successful.
Well,
so
you're not
win in that way.
You guys aren't selling the appliances. You're just saying the appliances that are available that would qualify for these programs.
Exactly. And in fact, one of the things that we're working on is putting together a referral or a network list on our website of contractors and vendors in our area that then will sell you the equipment or install it for you. You know, we're trying to build up our local workforce and our local contractors to be able to do these things. We're not trying to compete with them. We're trying to offer rebates to make their products more appealing.
Well, perhaps you can help them get some more labor, too.
that's
the biggest bugger right now.
That's actually something that we're looking at as well. We're building out workforce development programs because, like I said, these are the fastest growing fields. And yep, if we don't have the skilled workforce here to do it, someone's going to come up from the Bay Area to do it and be taking, you know, jobs that could be staying here local.
Right, or over from the Valley.
That's a real important point.
I would suspect that Humboldt State's Polytech designation and the ramp-up for that is going to provide some additional insights and abilities and recognition for the programs in the local area.
Yeah, you're exactly right there. And, you know, with the possibilities of, you know, a facility to construct offshore wind turbines here and everything else going on, I think with Humboldt State becoming the Polytechnic, that there'll be a lot of potential for job training. And I think as a community, we all have to work together to do our best to make sure those benefits stay local, because, you know, there's going to be lots of other people out there looking at Humboldt County and they go, oh, how can I make money up there?
Yeah, so discovering the... Keep it local. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Coleman from RCEA, Redwood Coast Energy Authority. See, I can write notes and even read them afterwards. Steve, if somebody wants, I'm thinking of the contracting community now. Okay, all these homes that are going to be built in the area, and, you know, whether it's in the pre-financing, the financing, the actual construction of... When is the most convenient time for people to be able to interact with your agency and really figure out, you know, what might be suitable for them or what, you know, may not be applicable for what their needs and wants are?
That's a great question. And so really at any time in the process, but if, for example, there's a new construction going in or development, probably as early in the planning stage as possible to, you know, when you're thinking about what sort of appliances and that you're going to be putting in, that would be the time to make the plans to see what the most efficient available models are and what type of things there'll be rebates for. You know, we're really trying to promote heat pumps a lot recently, and that's happening not just here but everywhere, and which is pretty much the most efficient way that you can use electricity to create heat in your home. And it's a technology that's been around for a while. Pretty much everyone has a heat pump in their house. It's called a refrigerator, and it's just a way of moving heat from one location to another. And we have a lot of rebates we can offer on those type of systems now, but on everything too. And so I would encourage people, just instead of me trying to like say everything that we could possibly do for you, give us a call or fill out that interest form, and we'll work with your individual situation.
Do you sense that either the developer community or the contractor community is aware of a lot of these options and programs already, or are they also needing to come up to speed?
I think it's always such a fast-moving target. You know, we just heard of a whole new set of heat pump rebates that are going to be offered in the new year, so that things are always changing. And so the incentives that were there 2 months ago might not be the same ones as are going to be there 2 months from now. And so I think it's tough, you know, for a small contractor, you know, while you're trying to juggle all the different aspects of the business, researching CPUC, California Public Utilities Commission's decisions isn't probably on the top of anybody's list of things to do, including mine. You know, I'm so grateful that we have other people who do that in our organization. So that's where, you know, we really want to be there to help. We want to be a resource for people, for the customer, for the contractor, and for everybody else.
Where does natural gas fit into the equation? Because, you know, it's been touted as being one of the most fuel-efficient approaches, but yet it seems to be kind of out of favor at the state level at this point. And you kind of hear different stories from different folks. What's your point of view on that one?
I guess I should probably put a disclaimer that then I'll respond with my personal point of view, not organizational point of view. But yeah, as RCA, we deal in the electric world. We're not a natural gas provider.
Oh, okay.
Natural gas is a fossil fuel. It's a carbon-producing resource as it's burnt, and so it is a greenhouse gas driver. And we're seeing the ramifications of global climate change right now with increased storms and sea level rise. And so the more that we build our infrastructure of the future reliant on these greenhouse gas driving fuels, the worse shape we're going to be in. And so electricity is only as good as the means that are used to produce it. And so, you know, you can be burning natural gas to produce electricity. And in that sense, you know, it might not be that much better. But if you're doing carbon-free sources for creating that electricity, I think that's going to be a step towards what we need to do to start to mitigate the damage that's already occurring due to the increased CO2 in the atmosphere.
So I'm thinking along the North Coast, we got a lot of folks with fireplaces. Wood better than gas?
There you probably hit on a high controversial subject there. No, in terms of carbon production, burning natural gas in a very controlled, regulated power plant to produce electricity is much cleaner than putting, you know, wood in your fireplace or wood stove.
Gotcha.
I know
and you
a
don't,
lot of people...
You don't have bugs on your wood pile then also.
And you don't have bugs on your wood pile. But a lot of people love their wood stoves. And
yeah.
You know, there's nothing like sitting around a wood stove or a fire. You know,
yeah, I know.
It's time. It's just started. It's raining out here. You know, it dries up the house.
I know. I got guys on both sides as we're looking at what options, and it'll be interesting. Hey, Merry Christmas. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays to everybody out there. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Steve. See everybody tomorrow.